You found Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two of Primetime Action live from the South Point Hotel Casino Friday night in Vegas. South Point is hopping. It's bumping right now.
Well, Gil.
Yeah.
It's coming into town next week, buddy.
Who that?
Next 2 weeks, actually. The Rodeo.
Oh, the Rodeo.
The big one. Oh. The National Finals. Rodeo.
And you're not talking about Rodeo Drive either. You're
no,
talking about
this is,
the
this
Rodeo.
This is the big one. This is the one that lasts two whole weeks here in town.
Do you ever do that thing where you, poker player that you were, to like dress up as the cowboys and try to play dumb on a poker table? You ever do that?
No. I would just go and sit down normally and play against them typically, which I'm sure Kelly will probably take advantage of here at the South Point.
Possibly.
Over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, there's a good possibility of that. Yeah. But I would like that route as well, Gil.
I would love to see you specifically, Kelly, do that. Dress up in the garb. You always said you wanted to do that.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I do. That's one of my Vegas personas I'd like to adopt is a cowboy Kelly as well to take that on. So, yeah, Gil, you're right. I would very much like to do that. But
cowboy
that stuff's
Kelly.
Expensive. Matt went hat shopping.
I sent you a link to the hat that you
needed. Yeah, it was like 10 grand or something like that.
It was six.
Don't embellish.
Come on.
You're right. It's pennies. Let me just dish out $6,000 on a cowboy
much
hat.
More
I'll wear
affordable.
It three times.
It was six. Come on.
I'm with you, Gil. I think it would make quite an impression to be rolling into that card room. Just all
with
that
your
nice
beard. With your
tie,
beard, you would fit right in. Though that's the thing. It's like they wouldn't think twice with your beard.
They'd be like, he's a sucker. He can't play. And then you'd steal all their money, man. Let's update all the scores.
They would smell the suburbs on me as soon as I sat down.
Let's update everything, Kelly, if you could.
Yeah, we'll do. Over in college football, NC State up on North Carolina 14-3. This game with 8.5 minutes left in the first half. Live numbers just got taken off the board. Looks like 14.5. I'm seeing some places on NC State, 59.5. The total over in the NBA. We got a few games here in progress. The Hornets lead the Timberwolves 66-57. The Hornets 6.5 live and 236.5 is the live total. Bulls up on the Magic 54-44. 45 seconds remaining in the first half. Bulls are a 12.5-point live favorite, 210.5. The live total. And the Suns all over the Knicks at Madison Square Garden, 56-42. A little under a minute left in the first half there. The Suns 12.5 live and 210.5 the live total. In college basketball, couple significant games in progress. Xavier up on Virginia Tech at the half, 35-27. Xavier is a 3.5-point live favorite, 133.5 the live total. Loyola Chicago up on Arizona State, 41-33. Second half just getting started there. Loyola Chicago 8.5 and 142.5. And on the ice, a few games going. We've got the Predators up on the Devils, 2-0. 15 minutes left in that game. The Lightning up on the Kraken at the end of 1-0. The Lightning are minus 450 live. Kraken 3-1 live dogs.
Ha!
Canucks and Blue Jackets tied at 1. That game, 18 minutes remaining in the second period. The Blue Jackets minus 140, Canucks plus 110, 5.5 the total. Canadiens and Sabres all tied up at 1. Second period just getting going. Canadiens minus 125, Sabres minus 105, 6.5 live total. And Stars with a 2-0 lead over the Avalanche. 5 minutes remaining in the first. Stars minus 380, Avalanche plus 290, 6.5 the total. One last game, Penguins and Islanders scoreless, 3 minutes remaining in the first period.
Alex Ovechkin with a hat trick tonight in Washington's 4-3 win over the Panthers. He is creeping up. I know you know this, Matt. I'm just telling everybody else about this. He is creeping up the all-time goal scoring list, creeping up on Jaromir Jagr. For Jaromir Jagr in third place all time, Ovechkin in fourth.
Former Pittsburgh Penguin.
That's correct, among other teams. Well done.
That's the only team I could have named, too.
If I spot you Gordie Howe at number two, could you give me number one?
New York Rangers?
Bruins.
Did Gordie Howe play for the New York Rangers?
He may have at some point, but
did he play
most,
for like 30 years?
Not most prominently, yeah.
He played for like 30 years, didn't he?
The Bruins? No.
No, that's Bobby Orr you're thinking of.
That's
my goodness.
That's exactly what I'm thinking of.
That's my goodness. Number one would be? Come on.
What, the number one? Oh, the great one.
There you go. Okay. All right.
Wayne Gretzky.
Red Wings.
Kings.
The Red Wings is who Gordy is. Oh, Gordy Howe is most associated with, of course. So Ovechkin moving up that list. And he's also moving up the all-time hat trick list, too. He's like eighth that all-time as well. I think he'll get there. I think he'll get to the promised land. I think he will be the all-time goal scorer when all is said and done.
Oh, I was thinking of the Hartford Whalers for...
He did. Gordie Howe did play for the Hartford Whalers.
That's what I was thinking.
He did indeed. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the NFL. Back into the early window. This might be the best game of the weekend. At least on paper it is. And let me just stop it again and say, have you yet seen the Hard Knocks in season with the Colts?
On your recommendation, it is on the DVR.
It is so good.
Yeah, it's on the DVR.
And I will say this, as bad as the Cowboys one was before the season, because that was virtually unwatchable, this one is spectacular. And it makes you love that franchise. It makes you like have super respect for that organization. And after you watch the two episodes that are already in, you're like, I may want to bet on this team, like in a future. Anyway, they're three-point dogs this week to the Bucs.
I have not watched it. You're like the third person I've heard say that, like basically that exact same thing
really?
The past 2 days.
I haven't heard anybody else comment on this. Is that right?
Yeah.
It makes you think to yourself, this team has everything that it takes to be a champion, and I want to pour out my bank accounts anyway.
Except a quarterback.
I had a friend that I was talking with earlier today that said the words, man, he's like, have you watched this yet? I'm like, no. He's like, I really think the Colts are a better team after watching it.
Me too.
I'm like,
me too.
And I just laughed at him.
I was too.
Like, what are you talking about?
No, I feel ridiculous saying it because it sounds ridiculous.
You're not the
but
third
I
person
do.
I've heard basically say that.
If you've like sort of, you know, it's sort of that Malcolm Gladwell blink thing of all these championship teams you've witnessed in your lifetime and what they sort of had in common, you're like, oh yeah, yeah. Like the whole time you're like, oh yeah, all the ingredients, all there. They're 3-point dogs to the Bucs at home on Sunday. Most significantly for us.
Out Antonio Brown. That is it, though, on the Bucs side as far as players that are ruled. Definitely out. That's a doubtful. Ali Marpet, offensive guard for them. So pretty much go ahead and chalk him up as being out. Devin White, Vita Vea are both questionable. Expected to play, but questionable. No injury designation for Mike Evans. So he's not questionable on there. Carlton Davis, they did open up his 21-day window. Not going to make it back for this game, but if you are a Bucs futures holder, a Bucs backer, they are looking to get much healthier in the secondary here really soon. So getting him back would be massive for that team. And then the Colts, which has just kind of been the Colts deal this whole year, their injury report was clean, like, again. Like, I mean, this has been a very good, I mean, I guess outside of the two rolled ankles game. But he played anyway the next week. I mean, so
it's
whatever.
Greatest.
Outside of that, they've really been on the fortunate side of the injury report. And again, this week for them, this game has been so incredibly confusing to me. So it is 3 across the board right now, 53.5 now, the total on this one. And it's like there was a time where I wanted to bet the Colts. There was a time where I wanted to bet the Bucks. There was a time I wanted to tease the Colts. There was a time I wanted to play like maybe an alt line on the Bucks. Like there's so many different scenarios, I think, of how this game could play out. And so it got me to a point to where I just kind of backed off, and I think I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it and watch it. Because, I mean, the obvious path for victory here for the Colts is they run the ball with as much success as they have over the last few weeks. And with that, a banged up Vita Vea, it looks like he's going to go, but again, a banged up Vita Vea in that defensive line is not able to hold him down, which has been the case. It doesn't, you know, again, we've talked about this. Like they've been able to run the ball to success against any defense here lately that you put in front of them. It doesn't matter where they're ranked, you know, how good they are and where they're ranked. They figured out a way to get it done. And then the obvious way that they lose this game and could lose this game, end up like pretty badly, would just be that the running game doesn't work out for them. And with that, you have to put it on the arm of Carson Wentz, who again has been pretty bad. Like kind of it's been hidden because they just hadn't had to use him all that much in these games that they've been winning here lately. But like he's been pretty bad actually in these games. And so while he hadn't been turning the ball over, he's just been inaccurate, not making good decisions, different things like that. And so kind of some of these guys that do this tape breakdown stuff that I watch will kind of show just, you know, again, just locking onto receivers, not seeing the open guy down the field, all these little things with Carson Wentz that, you know, was kind of these warts on him as he was getting that job there in Indy in the first place. And so it's very tough for me. I mean, the total feels like too much, like 53.5, like feels like too much in this game, but it could get into if the Colts run successfully and then that secondary can't do anything against the Bucs, then it could turn into one of those weird shootouts that you don't really kind of see coming. And so for me, exhausted every single option up and down, and couldn't end up on anything here. Gil, I know you're on the Colts.
I am on the Colts. And again, yes, did that show make an impression on me? Yes, obviously the Colts are the opposite of the Panthers, right? Panthers won their first three games, lost six out of their last eight. The Colts lost their first three games. The Panthers won their first three, lost six out of the last eight. The Colts lost their first three and have won six of eight. I like them here. And again, I'm not one to think that the Bucs are playing very well right now. I know they crushed the Giants, but I'm not impressed by that. They were pretty mediocre the couple weeks before that. I think the Colts are just on all cylinders right now, and they haven't required a lot from Carson Wentz in the same way that the Patriots haven't required a lot from Mac Jones. So I like the Colts here. Kelly, what are the Colts to win the Super Bowl? What are they to win the next seven Super Bowls? I'm all on board.
10-1.
With the Indianapolis Colts.
Back to back to back to back to back to back to back.
Watch that. Hard Knocks in season, first ever on the Colts. It will leave an impression on you. We'll finish the early window with a couple barn burners. Next, VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Draft a killer lineup and hunt down a win with the Gridiron Grudge Match presented by Amazon's Hannah. Play free fantasy football and fight for your share of $5,000. Head to DraftKings.com/PrimeVideoHannah now to get in on the action. Amazon, work hard, have fun, make history. Get a big bow for your car. Oh, that's not there. Sorry. Terms and conditions and other eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
I'm assuming that given the wording and all that, this Hannah girl must be a killer or something, right?
Yeah, I think it's a show based off a movie. I think I saw bits of the movie, and yes.
Was she a killer?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like a little girl who got lost in the woods and became a killer.
Well, is that really what it's about?
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
I mean, then
from
she
what
probably,
I remember.
Can we hold it against her? Then she probably had to be, right?
I don't know. Once again, we've done more for a television program than anybody else could ever do. Yeah. That kind of promo.
See, look, now everybody's very curious as to what. See, we probably did generate a lot more interest in that.
Do you
for
think?
For free, by the way. Yeah, because we're questioning all these things.
Yeah.
Kelly kind of teased him with like, yeah, I saw a movie, but it was like.
Oh, no, he's right. Listen, Hannah is an extraordinary girl who has been raised in the forest, evading the relentless pursuit of an off-the-books CIA agent. This series, part high-concept thriller, part coming-of-age drama, follows the girl on her journey as she tries to unearth the truth behind who she is. I could go on, but I think I've said
enough. Look at that. See, here's the thing.
The tone of the voice, too, Gil. Where are you at on the movie trailer, guy?
Just
come
from
on,
the
we got to get you on that.
One girl. Start everything with that.
One girl against the world.
That's right. It's in a world. In a world where you have to fight off a CIA agent.
Let me tell you something. If you become the guy to do those movie things, you are set forever.
Yeah, that guy, he like died a couple of years ago.
Yeah, LaFontaine or something like that, whatever his name
was. He died a couple of years ago. But it was like, he had done some absurd, like 12,000 something, like reads or something.
It was like a Dateline years ago where they saw him being whisked away in the back of a limo to like get in front of a mic and go, one girl, you know?
I've got a friend who's a voiceover actor. It's all he does. He was like a sound engineer when he was like fresh out of college, and he was working with these guys that were recording voiceover stuff like that. They'd come in, record stuff for 30 minutes, collect a check for like 20K and walk out, and he's like, I think there's something to this job.
the only time I ever got one of those, because back in the day, I had remember Rugrats?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So there was like a tag at the end of a Rugrats commercial where it was like, Johnny, Rennie, whatever it was, right? So I did it maybe, and there was one I did too. That and Bringing the Noise, Bringing the Funk. literally like 15-second tag at the end. And that's exactly what happens. You get this check for like more money than you're even comfortable getting for what you did.
You're like,
I probably shouldn't accept this. I didn't do that much, you right? That kind of thing. But those guys have like massive egos. They're like, of course, I'm the best.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But my buddy who was like, he was like, this is a great idea. These days, he's like, I don't walk into a room for less than this amount of money. And I'm like, you're working for 20 minutes.
Does Kelly remember Rugrats? Kelly's got Rugrats pajamas.
That's true.
I mean, for sure.
Probably, that was probably, yeah, rocking some Rugrats jammies.
You had Rugrats.
Jammies.
You had the Rugrats onesie.
Who are the, the two redhead kids? Pete and Pete.
You had to undo the butt flap if you had to go to the bathroom.
Kelly said jammies, bro.
Yeah. It was a onesie. It was a onesie, no doubt about it.
Jammies, bro. That's outstanding.
Getting Kelly a onesie for Christmas, for sure. Adult onesie.
Oh, man. I'd rather talk about this, but I guess we should move on.
I mean, you know, things are good tonight. We're rocking. We're rolling.
Hey, man. It's the South Point. Anything could happen.
Coming off a nice couple of little wins last night. This is good stuff.
Yeah, that night ended well with the second half bets. Brita.
And then the Brita. Oh, man. Brita was just the icing. Oh, man. That was a cherry on top.
Brita, I didn't think he was getting in, too. He scurried in there.
I didn't think he was getting in there either.
Yeah.
That was good. That was fun stuff.
It was good. Yeah, it was good. That was a good ending because the Cowboys' bets hurt a bit. But, yeah, I got Dawson Knox home with that first touchdown. The under got home. All that stuff.
The Raiders-Cowboys thing, I think you were the same way. I was just completely conflicted because I had the Cowboys in teasers and I had the Raiders every which way. So it was like I tried to hit a middle, if you will.
I am still just mad at, like, the product that we saw.
Oh.
That was disgusting.
So 28 penalties last night. Turns out the NFL record for accepted penalties, Las Vegas Chris sent this to me, was 35 in 1976 in a game between two expansion teams, the Seahawks and the Buccaneers.
They didn't know the rules even.
They didn't know how to play.
Yeah, they didn't even know the rules.
The last time we've had that many penalties, though, was 2016.
Man.
So it's been 5 years since we had a game like that. And it felt that way. Every bit of it hurt.
I would love to know. I mean, I'm sure this is the most all time, but like the back-to-back spotlight games between that and then the one before it, there was a lot of flags too.
The Lions thing with the offensive lineman holding was one of the more comical things we've seen this year. You could have picked four offensive linemen every play, it seemed like. Okay, Eagles at Giants. I'm guessing this is one of our three-way matches.
In a world.
Oh, I got it. I was right. He said.
In a world where an eagle faces a giant.
One man.
out Sterling Shepard and doubtful Kadarius Toney and Kyle Rudolph and questionable John Ross. I mean, like, it's just one of these things. Daniel Jones, poor guy, just cannot get his guys out there and then questionable. Also, Saquon Barkley. So, Shepard, Toney, and Rudolph are not going to play. I mean, doubtful guys don't ever play. And then you've got John Ross and Saquon Barkley that are questionable as well. On the Eagles side, just Jordan Howard is out for them. And, again, they got Miles Sanders back, so it's not really that big of a deal with Howard being out with this. So, look, we talked about this. This has been a complete shift, and I'm on the Eagles. Full disclosure, I was on the Eagles at 3.5 way earlier in the week. So, if you've been listening to the program all week, then you know I was already on that. This was a big shift in the way that they run their offense. So you go back and you like look at the numbers, and we were talking about how big of a shift it was, but like this is kind of how dramatic this is, right? So Eagles weeks 1-7, 23.4 carries per game, 116.7 rush yards per game. They were running the ball 39% of the time.
I'm sorry, I keep thinking about jammies, bro.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm losing it.
Rugrats.
Sorry.
Rugrats.
Go ahead.
Yeah. We're going to get him a onesie for we really are going to get him a onesie for Christmas.
I'm sorry, man.
then Eagles week 8-11. Do we just need to come back to this one, game, Kelly? Kelly's having
tweets now, man.
The thing is he's having flash because he's like, I really did have Rugrat.
Really
have Rugrat pajamas. Like, there's no doubt about it.
I'm probably Ninja Turtles.
Something about the jammies, comma bro set me off.
Jammies, bro.
Jammies, bro.
Oh, man. All right, so we'll reset.
Yeah.
Eagles week 1-7. We were talking about how they're the giant shift in their offensive philosophy. So weeks 1-7, 23.4 carries per game, 116.7 rush yards per game. They ran the ball on 39% of the snaps. Weeks 8-11, 43.5 carries per game, 217.5 rush yards per game, and they're running 67% of the snaps.
Oh, my God.
So it is a massive, massive shift in philosophy of how they are going to run the offense here. Well, the thing is you're getting a pretty good landing spot here on this one as well, because you're getting a Giants defensive line that is 30th rush DVOA, 25th rush defense according to Pro Football Focus. If you kind of go down a little bit further, the other thing about this is they're really bad on early downs as well. Their early down success rate that they're giving up is 24th in the league. Their early down EPA that they're giving up is 24th in the league. And so you're going to get chunk plays here most likely from this Eagles team just kind of continuing here, because you have a big, big mismatch in the offensive line on the Philadelphia side and in the defensive line on the New York Giants side. And then if you look and then you flip-flop it on the other side here, you've got Daniel Jones, who again is just, is he good or is he bad? Is he what, like, you know, whatever. He's probably somewhere in between, but again, he's just going to have no playmakers yet again. Galladay will be out there, but he'll play a quarter and a half and then he'll be on the sideline. And that's about it, you know, for this Giants team. And so you look at the Philadelphia defense, their defensive line is actually number one overall in the league in pass rush win rate. And you wouldn't think that. You would think it wouldn't be one of these other defenses out there, but that's not the case, actually. They're number one in the league in pass rush win rate. And then you look at the Giants offensive line, and they're 25th in pass block win rate. And so it's just mismatches on both lines here. And we talk about, you know, you hear all the time, like old school guys talk about games won in the trenches, but it's like really and truly advantage Philadelphia offensive line versus New York defensive line, and then advantage their defensive line versus the New York offensive line. And so with the way that they're playing right now, the way that their philosophy is of just running the ball and pounding the rock and doing that, I think they're going to find a lot of success doing it here. And so unless Kenny Galladay kind of has the game of his Giants career, which would not be hard because he's only played three this year with them. So, you know, that could, I think, keep them in this. But pretty much everything kind of points New York. I mean, points Philadelphia in this one.
Yeah, that's a very fair assessment of Daniel Jones from you. Like, I think most people aren't as level-headed. By fair, I mean just a very just assessment of Daniel Jones. Because most people, you know how people are. They're like, he's terrible. But he just never has.
He's never had an offensive line. Yeah, he's never had an offensive line. He's never had a lot of weapons that have stayed healthy.
All right, we fell a game behind here.
We gotta
catch up. Falcons and Jaguars close the early window next. Then we will get to the afternoon games, which include the Chargers and the Broncos, the Vikings at the Niners, and of course, the Rams at the Packers. It's VSiN's primetime action.
You are looking live at primetime action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Prove your fighting spirit this football season in the Modelo Giant Fantasy Challenge. Play for free in this three-part contest series for your shot at up to $9,000 in total cash prizes. Head to DraftKings.com/giant prediction to get in on the action. Pardon me. Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit. 21 plus only. Terms and conditions and other eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. We have a tweet here, and yes, I'd like to take exception to it. This is from Kyle_RBW, talking about Kelly wanting to be in, dressing up in cowboy garb to do some poker, play some poker, win some money at poker. He says, Matt and Kelly could pull off the cowboy at the poker table thing. Matt kind of looks like he comes from oil money. I missed that part. Kelly is a no doubter. He could own a barbecue joint, raise cattle, whatever. Gil, they'd have you figured out before raised with low pair. Save your money, my man. First of all, two things, Kyle_RBW, with the two emojis, one of which is a fireball, I guess, or whatever that is, the sun. What makes you think I want to participate in those shenanigans anyway? And secondly, what about you at like a rabbinical convention? You think you get away with that? You think you're better than me? Kyle_RBW.
Listen, let's fall further behind because we didn't talk at all about the golf today.
Oh, yes, please.
Like, Kelly, I don't know how much
Real quick, I'm in on Hawks Live because John...
Hawks?
Hawks! I was leaning that way anyways, but John Moran just left the game.
All right.
What'd you get?
5.5. Leading 5.5.
HOX. Yeah, so I watched the whole thing. And listen, I was pretty skeptical about the whole 12-hole thing and all this. I think that's the way to do these things. It was over quickly. It created, like, immediacy because, like, you know, it got to a point pretty quick where Bryson had to kind of, like, go for it because he had fallen behind, like so early on.
Brooks ended up winning 4-3.
Yes.
Oh.
And you had, like, you had like one of these deals where like you could almost see now if you do a 12-hole version of this, you could almost see where you could get like four guys and then like just play like a same day, almost like a little mini tournament and stuff. And like, I think that this is definitely the way to go. The Wynn course, by the way, looked phenomenal in the broadcast.
Yeah,
like it looked awesome. And like getting all those shots of the strip and all that stuff in the background was just was amazing as well. And then
we should have a primetime action outing at the Wynn, and we should have a contest for the fourth player of our listeners.
There we go.
I like it.
And there we have it.
Let's make it happen.
We'll make it happen. Kelly, and this is the other thing. You know, the reason I don't play a lot of this early season golf and stuff like that, so, you know, and it, like, there were the excuses were flying for sure.
Oh yeah.
But this is one of the – but some of the stuff he was saying was some of the reasons why I don't play, like, the start of the season golf. He's like – so he's playing a new – you know, he's playing a new ball that they basically designed and made for him, you know, like Bryson was, right? He's – still doesn't know how far he hits the ball quite yet because the more he lifts weights and the stronger he gets. Like, so he doesn't know how far he hits the ball yet, right? Like, he hasn't dialed in what his distances are and all that. Like, there was a shot where he was – not that far away from the pin, and I mean overshot it, Gil. I'm talking 10, 12 yards, right?
Wow.
And he's just like, I don't know how far I hit a wedge right now. Like, and also, you know, he's just like, so they're figuring things out, like, because, you know, they're getting new clubs. They're getting new things. They're, you know, all their sponsors are like, hey, try this stuff out. And like, do you like it better than the stuff you were using? And all that. So like it kind of played out today as well. But yeah, the excuses were flying pretty early and often.
Yeah, they were. And it was mainly one-sided. It was the, I think you saw a lot of what Brooks and Bryson are there too. It was a good look. Brooks is just a competitor to me. I know he can be taken. He's not a fan favorite. I get it. He's a quiet guy, but that guy, he's Jordan-esque in his attitude, where he's not going to make any friends, but he's there to win.
I tweeted this, and Bryson, like, I honestly believe this. I think if you went and had drinks with him, if you would go have drinks with Brooks Koepka, it would either be an awesome time because you'd be like, oh, this guy's like completely different than I thought. Like, or it'd be the most miserable time ever because he would just sit there and like just tend his own drink, and then like you'd ask him a question, he'd answer with like two words.
I think it would totally be the latter. Totally, I could just see him being miserable.
I'm with you. I think it'd be one or the other. I can see it going either way. But yeah, Bryson, it's just the, I don't. He's just like, it's all the complaints on the course, and then it's in this type of situation, it's excuses, and I don't know. But I liked Phil and Barkley made it.
I was going to say, Phil and Barkley were fantastic. Phil started talking about all this, like, different level thinking stuff and all this whatever, and then Charles was just like, man, I'm used to sitting on a desk with Shaq, like, mumbling underneath his breath. I can hardly understand what he's saying, and you're talking about all this other stuff. And so they get this tweet that comes in where it was like a monkey banging cymbals or something like that, or you know, whatever, and they like put on the deal, and it's like Charles's brain trying to like get what Phil's talking about, and then Charles just goes, hey man, don't you worry about my brain, because I got 20 and 10, and talking about 20 points, 10 rebounds, and he's like, I don't have a degree, but I got a lot of people working for me. And I was like, that's, there you go, buddy.
I think it was that same time period where he's like, people just, with the yoga, he's like, yoga's just stretching that you pay for. And then he also had he's like, analytics is just a word that smart people made up that to get their son-in-law's jobs. like the lines from Barkley were amazing.
He was so great. He was like, yeah, don't you worry about my brain. I'll tell you what I did. I had 20 and 10, and I don't have a degree, but I got a lot of people that work for me.
What are the chances of this result coming up in Bryson Brooks schmack talking on the PGA Tour this year? Pretty good. Be like,
I don't know. I mean, where it got interesting at the end, man. I don't know if you saw this, but it was like I guess Phil bet on Bryson or whatever, and so Brooks was getting snappy back at Phil. And then, you know, Phil never backs down. So Phil's like, oh, you know, like, check who won the PGA, like that sort of thing. And then instantly everybody's like, well, when's Phil Brooks? When's Phil Brooks?
Koepka did give a good story though. Like, he did, I mean, like to show some personality. He won. So when one of his majors, I don't remember which one it was or something like that, but he came to Vegas and brought the trophy with him, tried to go eat at that revolving restaurant at the top of the Stratosphere. They wouldn't let him bring the trophy up and all this. And then he said they had to leave at the bottom, and they had some beverages and had a good night out on the town and all this, and ended up leaving the trophy outside of his hotel room.
Oh, my God.
To which he woke up the next day and opened up the door, and it was still sitting outside still of the there. Deal, it was still just sitting there, and they got it and brought it back in the room. And
people are like, that's fake.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's what they were saying. No, yeah. On the broadcast, they were like, only in Vegas, because people walk by and be like, oh, that's like something you get a giant drink out of or something.
Right. Right. It's like a bachelor party.
It had a margarita in it or something. Like, so I don't want that thing. Sure enough, it was sitting outside the hotel room.
I'm sorry I missed it. You had no bets on this, though, right? No, bets at all?
No. It was entertaining, though. It was great. It was great. Yeah.
All right, let's squeeze in the last of the early games. This is the Falcons at the Jaguars. Oh, be quick.
Yeah, I mean, what do we say here? So you did get Cordarrelle Patterson is gonna go in this for the Falcons. Linebacker Deion Jones is listed as questionable for them. Defensive lineman Jonathan Bullard is out. Jags corner Shaq Griffin is out for them with a concussion. This is, you start looking at some of these stats for this Jags team, and like on the offensive side of the ball, and the futility is amazing. They have only scored, not a touchdown, scored points, period, on 25% of their offensive possessions this whole NFL season. Like, you talk about it, you only get 11, 12 a game, as it is anyway.
Yep.
And they've only scored. Even. Yeah, and they've only scored on 25% of their offensive possessions. That's a... Not that I have to tell you, that's last in the NFL.
And beat the Bills with 9 points.
Yeah.
Still got by.
That's last in the NFL, if you're wondering. It's dead last. But then they get the Falcons here, which is why this thing was, you know, a pick 'em, and then it was, you know, got to 1-2, now, you know, pick 'em. It's kind of been bouncing back and forth. As we sit right now, it is 2 across the board in favor of the Falcons, a total of 45.5. In this thing, but then the reason is, if team's that bad, then it's just, you know, obviously they're going to be a dog to whoever it is. But the reason that it wasn't is because you look at the Falcons, and they've been basically just as bad, and specifically on early downs, which has put them in such a rut with their lack of offensive weapons when you have Calvin Ridley sitting. So early down success rate for this Falcons team, they're 30th overall in the NFL. Early on EPA, they're 29th overall. And you kind of look in a little bit further. Matt Ryan has been, maybe it's the play calling, maybe it's just the personnel, whatever it might be, but 45% of Matt Ryan's pass attempts, so nearly half of Matt Ryan's pass attempts on second, third, or fourth down this year have been 7 yards or more for first down. So, like, they're getting no yards on first down, like, at all. Like, they're just – so everything is second and third and long. Like, everything is second and third and long. And it's like just really hard to convert in the NFL. Like, these defenses are really good. You know, these guys are athletes, you know. And so if you – he's been behind the eight ball the whole year. This is easily the game that will not make a TV for me. Like, I have no interest in this one whatsoever. I mean – I saw someone trying to make a case for taking a Jags in a teaser and taking that 2 up to 8, and I'm like, you go right ahead. You go right ahead. I will not be doing that. That is not happening for me.
That'd be a fun bet to sit through.
Wouldn't it, though?
Make you question your choices in life. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll come back. Afternoon games. We got 3 of them. That's it. 3 afternoon games, obviously, with 3 games having been played tomorrow. And we will talk Sunday Night Football as well. That will be interesting. With the Ravens and the Browns. Really the second big... No, it's actually the third biggest spread on the board. And it's a small spread. Coming back, VSiN's Primetime Action from the South Point.
Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on Primetime Action, live from the South Point Hotel Casino. Does it get better than the South Point on a Friday night? Does it?
Not when the rodeo's coming to town.
Not when the rodeo's coming to town. It's Gil, Matt, and Kelly. Let's go to the afternoon. Only one game begins at 4:05 Eastern, 1:05 Pacific on Sunday. That would be the Chargers and the Broncos. Chargers have sort of stayed 2.5, 3 all week long. We're showing 2.5 right here.
Yeah, this one's interesting because it's rest of country 2.5 across the board. So people were coming in and taking that 3 there for Denver. Look, Denver's coming off of a bye. If you believe that, you know, if you believe that a team coming off of a bye this, you know, this time of the year can get some stuff figured out in the, you know, in that bye week, then, you know, I guess I can get it getting the full field goal or something like that. I mean, it's really what you – how many points do you think this Broncos team is going to score? Is basically what it comes down to, right? Because I mean, Chargers are going to score. They're going to move the ball.
And they're going to let you score.
But they're going to let you score too. And so, it's, do you think this Broncos team at home, off of a bye, where, you know, look, I mean, the weapons for this Broncos team is actually pretty good. Like whenever you all things considered, right? You get everything on paper. I mean, it's. When you've got Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy, and then your third guy is Tim Patrick, I mean, like, it's a pretty good trio of wide receivers. And you got a Chargers team here that Asante Samuel is going to miss this game because he got, if you remember, he got concussed in that game. So he's going to be out for this thing. On the Denver side of things, though, Kareem Jackson is out for them, their safety. So he wasn't able to get back after this bye week for them. So that's not good for the Denver defense, who's already, you know, been kind of beat up all season long. I can't get a feel for this at this price. I mean, it seems like just the most appropriate number maybe on the board, right? Like, it's just the 2.5 or 3 just seems perfectly right here. Like, there's the Chargers are going to score. They're going to get scored on. Can the Broncos keep it up the whole game? Did they figure anything? You know, it's a week more for Jerry Jeudy to come back from his injury. I mean, he was tearing it up in just those first couple of games before he had that high ankle sprain. So, you know, does that, you know, really uptick what you think about this Broncos team? It's just so many kind of variables here for me that I don't really want anything.
It's like one of the games we talked about last week where it's like, I feel if you told me you wanted to lay 2.5 for the Chargers or tease the Broncos up, I'd be like, I like both.
You could, yeah. So you, could, you know what? They'd be like, hey, I did that. I'd be like, yes. And then yes. Like, I did this. I'm like, yes. You know, just like, yes. No, all right. Sounds good.
Oh, and I don't want to disparage anybody's bets, but almost to the point where if you heard somebody that had super conviction on one of these sides, you'd almost question, you'd be like, "What are you saying here?"
Yeah, it's like I would certainly.
Why would you?
Yeah, no, I really
this game?
Would because I mean, I dug into this one too because it's one of those where it feels like you should be on the Chargers at 2.5 for whatever reason, but I think it's because one last time we saw Chargers out there, they were scoring a bunch of points, moving up down the field. Bye week for the Broncos, so kind of out of sight, out of mind with all that. And that's what made me back off, and I'm like, okay, there's a little bit of bias going on here with me, and it could be a different Broncos team coming out of a bye, getting Jerry Jeudy one extra week of kind of getting back in the swing of things and all that. So, with all that for me, I'll just watch it.
The Chargers seem like that team that gets the postseason and then just gets absolutely rolled,
like run,
yes,
like completely run.
That's that on a wild card weekend. That's what they feel like to me. Vikings at Niners. This is 4:25 Eastern, 1:25 Pacific. Good football game on paper. Two 5-5 teams. This has big playoff implications.
So this one's interesting, right? So this one was a lot of support for the 49ers at 2.5, which brought it instantly to 3, then all the way to 3.5. Then there was a ton of support on the Vikings at 3.5, which brought it back down to 3. We are seeing, I mean, here it's 3.5. There's only one book, rest of country, that's 3.5 right now. It's 3 everywhere else. So we're a little. Well, again, they don't mess with the juice here.
Not at the South Point.
Yeah. So. That makes sense as to why they would be at 3.5 and everyone else being at 3 because it's a juiced 3 everywhere else. On the injury side of things, look, defensive tackle Maurice Hurst is doubtful for the 49ers, and then Eli Mitchell with that whole finger thing is questionable. On the Viking side of things, we talked about the Everson Griffin situation. So he has been put on the reserve non-football illness list for them after his run in with the law earlier this week with the situation, thinking there was an intruder in his house. And then corner Breshad Breeland is officially listed as questionable for this Vikings team. That said, he did play last week. I think it's probably just a precautionary type questionable here for him. There wasn't anything that where he kind of came up lame or anything. And so Vikings team about as healthy as they could possibly be. But the problem is they've already lost some guys on the defensive line for extended periods of time. So that's one of the other problems here for this team. They've already down Danielle Hunter, and then now you're down Everson Griffin to go along with that. And so your defensive line is thin going up against a team that has been running the ball just unbelievably successful. Now, small sample size there. It's only been a couple of weeks, but it is they've been very, very, very successful at running the ball. So if we tend to kind of take a look and dig into that a little bit more, you've got a team last 2 weeks, 65% of plays have been designed runs for this 49ers team. And so this is, again, two-thirds tight. So it's basically Philadelphia Eagles part two here, right? I mean, these two teams have decided that they've got quarterbacks that they'd probably rather hide than feature. And they're just having massive success, though, with what they've done running the ball. And all this pre-snap motion stuff and all these things that the 49ers have been doing has just been working really well as well, kind of keeping the defenses guessing. Is it going to be, you know, is it going to be a running back? Is it going to be this wide receiver that's been in motion? Who's going to get the ball? And then lining up just Debo Samuel in the backfield as well as a straight running back and handing him the ball. He's had 13 carries over the last 2 weeks for over 100 yards, I should have, 115 yards for him in all this. And so I really wanted to back the Vikings pretty badly. And then I got to a point where I couldn't. I did go ahead and put them in a teaser leg because I do think that now if you're going to get me up to 9, they're going to score. Like I think they can score for score with just about anybody. Like their offense is really just clicking on all cylinders right now. Plus, I was just trying desperately to find another partner for that Patriots team, if we're just being perfectly honest. Like that Patriots game just seems like one of the really, really prime teaser opportunities that we're going to have this season. And so I was trying pretty desperately to get another leg in there with that one. And so I did put the Vikings up to 9. As good as the offense has played, I think that they score enough points to keep this thing to where it's not a double-digit loss. Even if they do lose this game, I can't imagine it being a double-digit loss to this 49ers squad, especially with how the 49ers are playing right now. Not really explosive plays. Really,
I mean, the Vikings' 5 combined losses are by a total of 18 points.
Yeah,
so. Yeah. I have them in the teaser. I like it from that aspect, Matt, where I'm like, even if they lose, I could see them keeping it close. They've been doing that. And so and then I did take a bit of the plus 3.5 here, mainly because I think if the Vikings win, there's a chance that it could be a substantial win. If they get into, you know, if the 49ers are trying to run the ball all over them, ends up not really working out in that first half or whatever, Vikings could pull away a bit in this game. So I took some of the plus 3.5, might even sprinkle some on the money line.
I was going to say, like, I think the play there almost is, if you, I would rather play the Vikings money line, I think, than the 3 or the 3.5 at this point. Like, I think that they just win the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, easily, or they lose it close. Yeah.
I mean, the thing about the Niners and the Eagles, both, if I could toss them into the same sort of bucket, Niners more recently, the run-friendly team, you do wonder if things – what happens when they face adversity? What happens when they fall behind? Then what? And that's what you really want. Maybe more for the Eagles than the 49ers, quite frankly, but actually for both. Like, we'll see.
No, I think
what happens
both.
If they fall behind?
Yeah, I think you're right on both. Yeah. Absolutely.
And the other thing about just that Vikings plus 9 as a teaser leg, and maybe I'm just trying to talk myself into liking it much better, but if there's a team that is built to backdoor something as well, right. I mean, look, with Thielen and Jefferson and Cousins just slinging it all over the place, and then you've got a couple of different backs that can catch out of the backfield as well, like getting a cheap garbage score to get that thing down inside of double digits just – seems like that is would be a thing as well. So I don't know. Again, maybe I'm just trying to talk myself into liking it better, but I did need to find another dance partner for that Patriots leg.
Yeah. I ended up going with the Colts on mine, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I had the same thing. I was sort of like, who do I want to go with here?
Yeah.
Patriots seem like the fulcrum for all those teaser legs, that's for sure. We will do the Monday night game. We'll do the Sunday night and the Monday night game. Why not? We'll do the Browns and the Ravens. time permitting, and I think time will permit, we'll do some Seahawks in Washington. Washington has some good news. Got a couple key players practicing today, though one other name still remains very, very questionable. We'll do that, and we'll look at our Circa primetime entry for the contest. We'll do that. VSiN's primetime action.